Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to our Sunday series. My name is Zozo and I'm your hostess with the mostest, no toastest. How was your week? How are your weeks going? How have they gone? Tell me about it at our Sunday series or at As Told by Zozo. So this week we have a special guest who's been literally one of my best friends since I was like 13. She's a Gemini, that should tell you a bit. And yeah, we're just going to talk about basically everything. Like, we talked about love, relationship with God, everything, and just everything that's going on right now, the movement, the life, all of that good stuff. So relax, enjoy. I hope you learned something from this conversation. I know you had like an interesting journey, like getting, what is it, like from point A to point B, as we all do, but like you didn't plan to like end up in the UK. If you guys don't know much about the UK, so like it's like Zim Central. By Zim Central, I mean like there's a ton of Zimbabweans. It's like the highest concentration outside of Zim, I swear, which makes for like a really exciting environment, but at the same time, it's kind of like like claustrophobic. Yeah, tell me more about it. Yeah, but like tell me about like the actual like from point A to like point B, because like that was never part of the initial plan, right? Like you weren't going to end up in England for anything, really.
Well, okay, no, actually I wanted to, when I was in high school, I wanted to study law. I don't know why. Maybe I watched one too many episodes of How to Get Away with Murder. And then I wanted to apply to do law in London, and then I was like, oh, that's not really gonna work. And then like my ideas shifted and I ended up like going to uni back home, and that was probably not the best thing for me. Thinking about it, I still get triggered sometimes, but it's okay. We all learn and we live. But so I did uni for 2 years back home and it didn't work out. And then I went back home like to my mother's house as an adult, and I like worked for a year, and that was traumatic. So I realized I had to get up out of there. And then that's how I ended up here.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people put so much pressure on themselves to like do it right in the first go. Is that like what you think? Like, is it like,
definitely, because I feel like when I was in high school, obviously at 18, like I don't know anything about life, and so for me, I'm a very creative person, so if it was up to me, like I would have gone to university and studied music or something. But I feel like especially like with the kind of upbringing that I've had and the people that I've surrounded myself with, it would be super frowned upon. Like, okay, so you went to private school all these years so only so you can go out and get a degree in music. Like, and so in my brain, I was kind of like, okay, well, I have to do something that's going to get me a job. I have to do something that when I graduate is going to get me money. So obviously, socially acceptable thing to do was go study law, even though like I had no interest or passion there. And then as time went on, I realized that I actually cannot live my entire life like this. So I had to actually not do it anymore.
Gotcha. And so like, what are you studying now? Like, what is the like, and do you like associate yourself with it? Because I feel like what you study doesn't actually matter that
no,
much.
I don't think it does. But like, okay, so basically I'm doing a degree in communications and media, but I'm about to switch my major to media and publishing. And so like, I feel like the degree itself isn't really what I want to do in life, but there's not one time that I go to class and I'm learning something that I can't use. Like, stuff that I learned in class is how I'm making my website, or like how I edit my stuff on YouTube, or like how I edit sound software and stuff. So as much as like the degree title isn't an artist, it's still the tools that I need to do what I want to do in life. And I think if I had considered that when I was younger, I would have been on the right path earlier.
Gotcha. So like, what about like, for me, I never saw a direct correlation with like what I thought like God was like showing me my purpose to be and what I was studying. I was like, this is like a filler. Like, I don't even want to sound like ungrateful, because so many people would kill to be in the position that I was in, getting a degree, period. Like, we're both in that position. And like, it's not something to take for granted. It's not something to take lightly. But at the same time, like, half of you is like, there is no direct correlation with my interest in the subject matter for me personally, and like what I think I want to do, which I actually never knew what I wanted to do. I just was kind of like on chill, but I knew that it wasn't it. Like, it never correlated to it. But like, how do you sort of motivate yourself to like give yourself to whatever you're doing, like academically, whatever, but at the same time, like turn on your ear to like hear, like, okay, this may not be like end all be all, but it's like right now.
For me, that came with maturity, because I feel like now I have a lot more spiritual wisdom and just wisdom period that I didn't have. Because I feel like we put a lot of pressure on kids coming out of high school to have everything all together and to know that, like, okay, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. This is my future. But I feel like life is a journey, right? So if you don't get it right the first time, it's actually not the end of the world. And with regards to like academics currently, for me, I think the only thing that motivates me is that I want to be over and done with it as soon as possible so I can actually start living life.
What is
because I don't want to be like, oh my God, I get so excited to wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning and go sit and let this guy sit in front of the computer and tell me how to make an app, because I don't. It's more like, okay, I just have to do it so I can be done with it.
Let's talk about that. Like, what is this like living life? Because I remember you talking about this one, let's call him Jacob. Actually, let's not defame Jacob in the Bible. Oh, let's call him,
okay.
What should we call him? Like, business.
Yeah, your code names aren't making sense, because there's been a lot of code names that I don't. You said okay, no, just keep talking. Maybe I'll catch up.
Cameraman, let's call him Cameraman. Talking about some, I can't wait to live a life after. What does that even look like for you personally, aside from like whatever, studying, jobs, whatever, creative pursuits, all of that? Because I remember you telling me about like about Mr. Cameraman and how I don't know, how it's hard to like be relational with people at the same time when they're trying to like grow and they don't actually even recognize that they have to grow. Like,
for me personally, I think that looks, it's kind of still, I don't know, it's up in the air. I feel like I'm the kind of person who's super organized. I always like to know, like, this is where I'm going, this is what I'm doing. By the end of the year, I want this, 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 and this. But life has shown me that it's not always going to be like that. And, like, it's really irritating, because I like to have a plan, and I like to, like, okay, by this date, I want to have this and this done. But I'm kind of realizing that my purpose can't be dated. What I'm supposed to do on this planet can't have a date on it, because I feel like in the mishaps is where you find your true calling.
And so why do you think we're like so attached to dating?
I think we're so attached to it because it's a way that we feel like I've done something. It's like the same way where we're like, okay, I need to graduate by 21. I need to be married at 25 and I need to have a kid at 28. It's something that people can look at your life and it's a tangible thing and they can be like, oh, you're on the right path. Like, you're doing well. Like, you're doing a thing. But it's like, am I doing a thing according to you, or am I doing a thing according to where I'm supposed to be in my own journey?
And why do you feel like that why do we feel like that also in terms of like relationships? Like, I don't know, this is just me, applies only to me. I don't want to speak for everybody, but like also applying that same logic to like the end state of a like quote unquote relationship or situationship or whatever, like we want it to be like boxed and like ribboned and perfect and like done so that we can have that same sort of accomplishment. Or like,
I think it's also low-key a thing of validation,
right?
Because you feel validated when somebody claims you, or you feel validated when somebody asks you to marry them. It makes you feel worthy of that recognition. So I feel like it's a thing of like an accomplishment, but it's also a thing of like you feel seen or you feel validated. Like, you just feel like, oh, like I'm being seen right now.
So how do we get away from that? Because like there's no, that like nothing can actually give you validation. Like, that's not a thing.
True. I think, okay, so I used to think that it was always like with the other person, like in terms of relationships, right? Where it's like, oh, he's messing up. He doesn't know he doesn't know how to treat me right. Oh, he's doing this wrong. Or like, oh, he still needs to learn this, this, and this. Until I realized that a lot of that, what I was like putting out, it was coming from me. My own insecurities, or like my own like shortfalls, so to speak, because I don't have that many. Sure. But they would pop up. they would pop up and come up in as like reflecting from myself in this other person straight back to me. But I was too, I don't want to say stupid, but I think I was too naive to see how much of myself was in the brokenness.
So,
and I would just put it on the other person.
So what do you do? Do you like put it all together and like just like lift your hand up and like give it to God and say, here it is. Thanks. Like, let me know when it's ready. Like, how does that even work? Because I think I'm also struggling with that now. It's like, okay, well, I don't know how to actually go about doing this. Like, how do, like, okay, mm-hmm. now what? Like, I understand that, like, it's a two-way street. Like, not one person is always wrong. Not one person is always right.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
now what? Like, it's painful out here.
I think for me, it's always the thing, like, I've always felt like, oh, it's so cliche to be like, let go. Cliche. Ooh, to be like, let go.
Probably not. Is English your first language?
English is actually my third language. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, I think it's super cliche to be like, oh, let go and let God and just like let him take care of the situation, because we hear it so many times. But it's like, okay, but how do you actually do it? Because it's like, I found myself in this situation time and time again, and I've always known better, but I don't do better. So why? How do I get out of like this sick, sucky situation? So I think for me, it was more of a thing of I had to do work on myself. I had to figure out, like, why am I seeking things or seeking relationships or validation from other people? Because as much as I can be like, I know I'm worthy of this, this, and this. I know I'm beautiful. I know I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But do I actually live it? Like, the way that people treat me, is that me setting a standard of, you're going to treat me like I'm made by the King of Kings? Or is it me just saying, oh, I'm going to let you walk all over me because I don't have high self-esteem? So for me, it started with that inner work where I had to really, really look at myself and like really, really think about like, okay, what is it that I need and want in this life? Then once I did that, I had to start I don't want to say building my relationship with God, because he's always been there, but it was about more like intentionally going to God about certain things. Because for me personally, like, I would pray about like, oh, I'm having a hard time with this, let me pray about it. Oh, someone is sick, let me pray about it. But when it came to like that one situationship, like, I'd never brought it to God, and I'm thinking like, yo, why won't he bless this? Well, because you never brought it to him in the first place. I can't ask him to bless something after the fact. Like, I should have brought it to him when the thing first came into my life and asked him, hey, is this your will for me? And now I'm trying to make it in my own will and it's hurting me, but I'm like, hey, God, fix it. Why is he going to fix something that he did not put his stamp of approval on?
No, I completely get it. But I think, what if it's like 2 years into the game, not saying this is me or anything, but what if it's 2 years into the game, you never asked for a stamp of approval and you've just been asking for a stamp of approval as you go. And then finally you caught this wind to like cut everything off, and then it didn't work because the boomerang came back. But like, how do you it's like hard to like figure out, right? You don't know at what point it's like, it's you've prayed it away so many times that it's like not going away. Even after the fact, you acknowledge that you made a mistake by not asking in the beginning, which is like amazing, because forgiveness is like the foundation of any relationship with like any, like whatever, right? And then all of a sudden it's like it won't go away, and the months are just ticking away, and you're just like, all right. And then you extricate yourself from the whole situation. You're like, cool, sounds good. And then it's just like back, and you're just like, okay, well, what is this? And it's like, sometimes, like, I like what you said, it's like an ideal situation that happens, sort of, like, where you ask in the beginning. Or maybe it's not ideal. Maybe it's just, like, living and learning. Who knows? We're, like, 23. But...
Me too!
But, like... But, like, yeah, then, like, how do you navigate that? Do you even have to navigate it? I think maybe we should get away from the concept of trying to navigate things all the time.
True. But I feel like as long as something gives you peace, then you know you're in the right place.
Facts.
Because I feel like as much as, like, you want to be like, oh, let me navigate this, let me try and figure this out, this, that, and this, I feel like if you are on your right path and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, it's not going to stress you out. You're not going to be up at night thinking about it. You're not going to be worried about it. It's going to give you peace, whatever it is. So I feel like if there's questions about it, like, as much as, like, we're like, oh, I'm going to pray to God and hope that he gives me a sign, this, that, and the next. Like, God also gives you common sense, right? And his spirit lives in you. So if you're going through any kind of situation where you don't feel at peace, that's probably your answer. And you're waiting for him to write it in the sky and be like, leave him, he's a loser. But you already know he's a loser.
How do you separate the peace that you know is coming from God and then the peace that's like ego-based peace? Because, or it just, that's just like overthinking. Because like before the boomerang came back, when I cut everything off, I was like good for a little bit. And then like there was no peace, bro. I was like, ooh, 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 ooh. I was like faking peace. Like it was work to create that peace. And then the boomerang comes back and I'm just like, okay, well, okay. Mm-hmm. And I was just like chill and just going about like my daily whatever. Mm-hmm. Would I call it peace? I would call it anger at, what's it called? I would call it like, I would call it anger. And
yeah.
I don't Why think, do you keep throwing this back in my life?
I don't think anger and peace can coexist. No, I feel like, okay, let me give an example for myself. There's one time that I spent 2.5 years on something or a person that really was.
Who are you talking about, Bert? Like, I'm going to cut out names, but this is a conversation between me and y'all. Who is this? Oh, I remember him! Okay, go.
You are irritating. You are so irritating. Anyway. I too have been in a similar situation as you and Grasshopper, where I wasted 2 years of my life. However, so what had happened was I'm basically like in this situation, knee deep. I'm already planning like this is what our kids are going to look like. I'm thinking, I'm like making all my future decisions based on this thing, thinking that, okay, this is a solid thing. Me not knowing that, okay, this is outside of God's will for you. What he actually has for you is way better. But I was still holding on to it because I didn't know any better. So I'm thinking like, this is it. He's going to be my husband. Like, no matter how many times he was disrespectful to me, no matter how many times, like obviously it wasn't like outlandish disrespect. That was only like once in a blue moon, but it was just like in small, small, like microaggressions and like things that would be said and done. And I was accepting it and I was becoming complacent and I was like accepting less than I deserved because in my mind, I was like, I can't let this go. Like it has to work. But then at the end of the day, I had to realize that if I step myself away from this situation, is it still going to be worth it at the end of the day, right? So that's what I did. And I was like, I'm going to cut him off cold turkey. He's not going to hear from me, whatever. Don't care about him. And I was living in a different country anyway. So I was like, whatever, we move. I don't care. Next thing you know, I came home for Christmas. That boomerang thing popped right back up. And I'm like, yep, this is God telling me it's A-okay. We're good. We're back on, right? So we hadn't seen each other in time. Next thing you know, we're texting and he's like, I'm outside 20 minutes later. And I'm like, this is so God. This is God telling me like, this is it. And then I would like.
It'd be like that, bro.
So then, and at that point I was like really becoming like more like spiritually mature and stuff. So like, it was like a time where God was really starting to show me things. Like I hadn't reached that like level of spiritual maturity before that. So I'd be praying, right? And then God would show me him and like would be showing me certain situations in his life. And I'm like, oh my gosh, God is lining this up. He's saying he needs me in his life. That's perfect. This is it. He's my husband. So then when I go back to it and it's like same levels of disrespect, I'm like, wait, but God told me that this is where it was at. Like, what's going on here? And then I made this silly mistake where, first of all, we were like unequally yoked because as much as someone might say like they believe in God or something, if they don't understand spirituality or if they don't like, someone can say they're Christian, right? Or they can say they believe in God and they say they have a Bible and stuff. But it's like, if that's not reflected in your life, or if, okay, let me say it like this. You can be religious, but not have a relationship with God, which is what I feel like he was. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, he's claiming he's religious. We finna get married. It's cool. So then I'll go over there and I'd be like, are you okay? Like, I know you're dealing with a lot that you're not telling me about. And he'd be like, bro, like, are you on drugs? What do you mean? And I'd be like, God is showing me this, this, and this. Okay, but here's my confirmation that God wasn't lying, because the situations that I was telling him about, he'd never told me about. So God was showing me that. But in my mind, I'm thinking God is telling me I'm his wife. But what if God was just using me to help heal him in that moment and I should go about my day right after?
No, I feel you.
That's what it was. He was never supposed to be my soulmate. We were just supposed to be in each other's lives for a certain amount of time because we helped each other with whatever we needed to help each other with. And when time was up, time was really up. But I just didn't understand that because I really wanted to marry the guy. He was cute.
Yeah. The cucks, like, I don't know, bro. It's and then, okay, so I had this like whatever. Okay. Moving on. So Black Lives Matter.
They really do.
They've always mattered. And
they always have.
Even in South Africa, where xenophobia is alive and thriving, even here, where police brutality is just alive and thriving.
Even in the Netherlands, where they have Blackface Holiday every December, but nobody wants to talk about that.
Living and thriving. Like, I think racism is, like, this is something that's, like, 100% spiritual. Do you think that?
I think it is, because I feel like the battles that we're seeing right now in life, like when you switch on the news and stuff, this is all spiritual warfare. And to me, I feel like you, like, this is going to sound so messed up. I feel like for you as a person to be killing people, or not even killing people, but to be supporting or like saying that to not anybody who doesn't support the movement, right? And can come up with an excuse of why it's okay that Black people keep getting killed like that. I feel like you have to be possessed by a demon. That might be like, that might be an outlandish remark to make, but I feel like you have to be possessed, because how does that make sense to you? How can it actually make sense?
Mm-hmm. No, I think there's so much, like, I was reading this book yesterday and it was like we all, like, we understand that, like, evil can't live on its own. It, like, sucks from, like, the God force, God in us, right? It, like, takes from all of that good, and the more you feed it, the more it can live and the more it can thrive. And you feed it by, like, kind of like manifesting these negative feelings, beliefs, everything that is against what God is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, heightens and heightens and heightens and heightens the more that it's fed. So, like, it's really like a deep evil that needs to be, like, combated by, like, 100 times more than, like, what we're doing now. Like, you see it. Like, I feel like because we're a little older, maybe, or I don't know, but, like, it feels like there's, like, the understanding of, like, who God is, like, rising in the world right now.
I feel like there's an uprising, because I don't, like, don't quote me on this, but I feel like we're in end times. Because
that's the facts.
If you read your Bible, everything that he said was going to happen in end times is happening right now. It's literally happening right now. We're facing 2 pandemics at once. Do you know how crazy that is?
Wait, what's the other one?
COVID.
Is the other pandemic?
Racism is a pandemic.
Girl, it's been here.
It's been here.
What are you talking about?
No, but I feel like in the sense of how many people have we seen die, right? What was it that broke the camel's back for people to stand up the way that they have stood up across the world to be like, nah, this ain't it? Because I remember when Trayvon Martin was killed, right? I think I was like 14 or something. And I was like a Twitter warrior. And I was like, justice. Oh, yeah. And back then it was like, okay, cool. Everyone talked about it on Twitter for like 2 days and then it died down. But I feel like for the first time in our generation, we're seeing our peers actually doing something.
Is it because we're old enough now, or is it because, like...
I feel like that has something to do with it, yeah. Probably because, I don't know, I was a minor and my mom wasn't like going to let me go protest. I feel like if it's up to me right now, I'm going to do what I can, because it's like, this is our generation. Everybody that's coming up after us is looking to us like, okay, well, what did you guys do? The same way that we like talk about millennials, like, oh, well, they could have done this and that better. Okay, well, what are we going to do? We're adults too.
Yeah, no, I feel you. And I think in this country specifically, it's something that's really tactable and something that's like actionable. Mm-hmm. Like, you could, like, it starts with it's literally all systematic. Like, it's legislation, it's the police system as a whole, it's all of that, right?
Yeah.
So, like, putting pressure on those systems actually moves things. But then in other countries, like, I keep talking about South Africa because, like, girl, we zim. they're really, last year was like a massacre of like so many people who weren't South African by South Africans, mm-hmm. that like for them it's, they can't apply that same pressure and get sort of the same results.
Yeah.
And it feels like right now, obviously, because America's on fire, like we're focusing on that. Mm-hmm. But like in 6 months, when it's happening in like China or it's happening somewhere else, or all of these things are happening somewhere else, like what, like what's up? Like what are we, like,
I feel like a part of that is the rest of the world looks to America as like the blueprint. And I'm not sure why it happens like that. But I feel like, because I feel like, okay, so the thing happened in America and now the rest of the world is also protesting and stuff, right? But it's like the UK, there's so many so many similar situations of police brutality. And it's like, okay, why weren't we speaking about it before this happened? Or like in Australia, they have like their stuff with like Aboriginals. I'm not like too like, I don't know that much about it, but I know for a fact that Black people in Australia aren't treated like citizens or like normal people, I guess, or whatever. But it's like, why does it take something in America happening for people to stand up in their spheres of influence? Like,
exactly. That's so important, because like people are, and God bless them. I'm not saying this is bad, like whatever. I'm saying like people are trying to like leave their spheres of influence and like stand with like the cloud of everything that's going on, and mm-hmm. then go back to their spheres of influence with like nothing. Like yeah. they represented the cloud, but like the second they go back to their like where they have direct influence, it's crickets.
Yeah.
And I think that's literally where discussion needs to happen, because like you can't do that. Like if you're making content around like X subject, like mm-hmm. find a way to relate what's going on now, what you've learned from what's happened now to that subject, even though they seem disparate. Like I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not even trying. Because like you don't know anyone or their like situation or upbringing or life, like I don't.
No, like I don't know. For me, it's just really been bothering me that like a lot of European countries, the way that they're like the media is making it like this only happens in America. Oh my God, America's so bad. Police brutality, racism. But it's like, yo, you're doing it in your own country too. Yeah. And now you're trying to deflect and make it seem like that the protests that are happening in your country is only because it's happening in America. But it's like, no, they're marching for their own lives too, because you're doing it in your own countries. So I don't know. The whole thing is just so messed up.
Say Boris's name.
Okay, I didn't mention nobody by name. I'm not a citizen of this country. I don't want to get sent home.
So are you canceling any brands? I'm canceling a few brands myself.
Brands?
Yeah. Like, are you just like not gonna hang with them anymore? Did you unfollow people?
I haven't followed a few people because so basically I grew up in a white country, white neighborhood. Like in school I was one of four Black people. So, and I know for a fact that when I use my voice when times like this happen, that I make white people uncomfortable. I know that for a fact. But there's a different shift this time where a lot of the white people I grew up with are posting about it, talking about like racial segregation and stuff. But it's like, you were the same people asking me in high school, why is it necessary to have BET? And you thought that BET was racist when the whole blueprint is white people on TV every single day. That's fine. We all grow. We learn. That's really cool. But to me,
you're still like, bitter, bro.
No, but to me, I feel like I can tell. I can tell a massive difference when someone is passionate about a cause, or even if they're writing from a place of empathy, or when they're doing something because it's a trend. So I feel like now you're writing because you don't want people to think you're racist. And if that's the case, then don't say anything at all.
No, facts. And like the people that are so pressed about the looting, I'm like, that's like symptom number two. Like, relax. I really feel for the people with small businesses that you destroy for no reason. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel for Nike and Adidas. I don't care. Like, loot them. Get your Montclair. Like, do you? I don't care.
let's not start talking about looting, because if we're talking about looting, give us back all our artifacts and all our art and all our seasoning and everything that you took from us. Give us our gold. Give us our diamonds. Give it all back then if we're talking about looting. People are very, very lucky that Black people want justice and not revenge. Because if we were out for revenge, it would be another story.
And it would be based in evil, not love. And then...
that wouldn't be very Christ-like, though.
Yeah, but, like, what about the Black businesses that are being looted? That's out of pocket.
No, to me,
that's the argument, again.
I feel like that's where we should really draw the line. Because But then again, I feel like the people that are looting, if from what I've seen, because I don't trust like mainstream media. So from the images and videos that I've seen, the people that are looting the smaller businesses aren't protesters. There's people that are coming out to create havoc and to create a scenario or like a narrative that's going to say that, oh, look, everyone that's protesting is violent and they're looting, like when that's not the case.
No, facts. Well, girly, that is really all I have for you. Any last parting words? Or what are you watching right now? What do you recommend for everyone listening?
I'm embarrassed to talk about what I'm watching right now. I started I started watching Love and Hip Hop Hollywood from season one last week. And I'm on season four now. But
you guys, this is like the queen of like trash television. Like, I have no idea. Like, in a sea of such great programming, like, she'll literally pick out like 2006-esque, like, reality TV, like, Nene Said X.
Okay, that's rude because I actually do watch Real Housewives of Atlanta.
No, legit. Like, that's what I'm saying.
No, but I balanced it out because I've also been making use of my Disney Plus. I was watching Lizzie McGuire earlier.
My Disney Plus.
Yeah, I was watching Lizzie McGuire earlier. I watched a Cheetah Girls movie yesterday. I've been watching Hannah Montana from season one and realizing that they really gave us quality programming as children. Yeah. But if we're talking about intellectual stuff,
give us nothing.
I watch TV to like wind down. I don't watch it to like get educated. But I've been reading, though. I just finished an audiobook by Pastor Michael Todd. I feel like everybody knows about it. It's called Relationship Goals. And like that changed my life. I also finished a book called Don't Settle for Safe by Sarah Jakes Roberts. And that was lit, too. And wait, let me look up my Audible because I have like three books that I just got and I don't remember what they're called. I got one called Ferocious Warrior by Corey Jakes Coleman. I don't know why that's funny.
Because it's like so aggressive. I was also
listening to Free Centoya by Centoya Brown Long. And her story is so compelling. I feel like that's a really good story. And by the way, don't watch the Netflix documentary because she had nothing to do with it. She's going to put out a real documentary about her life. The Netflix one is not about her. Well, like, it is about her, but, like, the people took her story without her consent. So don't watch it. If you really want the story, read the book.
Thank you so much for joining us on our Sunday.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, that's really all I have for you guys. As always, I hope you fall in love with yourself, with your life, with your week, and with the magic between Sundays. Bezos, babies. Mwah. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it a ton. You guys have no idea. I do this all for you. So you can follow us on Instagram at Our Sunday Series. You can follow me on Instagram at As Told by Zozo. Thank you so much for listening. Please like, share, comment, leave a review, all of that good stuff.